May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 273. Pensive, doubting, fearful heart, hear what Christ the Saviour says. Every word should joy impart, change thy mourning into praise. Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see, thou hast little cause to grieve. Hymn 273.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God in the Psalms, Psalm 104, the 104th Psalm. Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honour and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirit, and his ministers a flame of fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed for ever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rooks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labour until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. So is that great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan, whom thou hast made to play therein. these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them they gather, thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good, thou hidest thy face, they are troubled, thou takest away their breath, they die, and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul, praise ye the Lord. May the Lord bless his holy word to us, and may he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, thou knowest how we are gathered here, thou hast appointed it, we do believe. Thou hast given us to know the favour of thy keeping us and bringing us together once more. O Lord, we believe thy word wherein thou dost say, he holdeth our soul in life. O, we do humbly trust we do know this. We are not where we once were. Oh, a number of us here, we hope many of us, can acknowledge this. And we are given that exercise and desire to come to gather around thy word, Lord. As thou hast commanded us, we should meet around thy word, meet together in this way and manner. We thank thee, Lord, for the sanctuary. We specially thank thee and bless thee for thy word. And all we do seek, Lord, that we may know tonight thy blessed presence in our midst. Oh, we beg, dear Holy Spirit, do come. Put us each into a worshipping frame of mind. Give us exercise. Oh, may we dwell upon those things we trust we know by experience. And also give us exercise, especially in faith with hope and love. And may we know that expectation that we have read of the psalmist had. Oh, we do pray, Lord, as our friend has even spoken in prayer regarding this one, poor one, as I feel, bringing a message. Who knoweth how we actually heard those words in our mind and in our heart as we walked up the path. And the things tonight could be acknowledged in a way of experience, exercise, and expectation. And Lord, we felt that would be our message. Oh Lord, we beg, may it be good for precious souls here according to thy will. Thou knowest our concern for them, our burden. Oh, each of us possess a never-dying soul, and we are each fast hastening on toward eternity. we have read these things in thy word. Thou dost take away the breath of man and he dies. But, oh Lord, we know this is not the end. There is a vast eternity in the soul. Takes its flight back to thee, thou great God who gave it. And Lord, these solemn issues of eternity, oh, these are our concern. Our concern to preach, our personal concern, our concern to faithfully and in love set forth before the friends. Oh, that we may each be, even this night, fired with one concern, for one eternal gain for each one of us. Oh, we do pray we may be blessed to have those sacred exercises and feelings of thy drawing by thy love, and that we may be led into meditation of thee. Dear Lord, there are so many other things of our burdens and trials which thou in thy holy will has appointed for us. Oh, we would ever bow to thy will, like thou didst lead us to feel affected this morning, Lord, in the sweetness of that hymn and the theme, sweet to lie passive in his hand, and know no will but his. Oh Lord, we do pray for this grace. Oh, we pray for this in the face of the trials and tribulations, in the reality of the experiences and the things we must still go through and pass through, the pains, the sorrows. Oh, one of our hymn writers says, surrounded with sorrows, temptations and cares, but Lord, we look away from them and away from ourselves to thee. Oh, and that truth, that favour, that blessedness of you in thee. Oh, this wonderful truth, with delight we survey and sing while we pass through this valley of tears. The righteous shall hold on his way. We've felt the hymn, Lord, we've begun with. There's so much in it that's been our exercise through this day. Oh, we do pray, Lord, we may know those blessed things that are there intimated and set forth in the thing of the theme of it, Lord. And Lord, as our experiences will agree with thy holy word, we especially pray for help to look into thy word tonight. And as our mind has gone to John's Gospel, wherein thou thyself, dear Lord, did say, this is my Father's will, that of all that this is the will of the Father, of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. Oh, but thou wilt raise it up at the last day. And those thy people, brought to believe in thee, they would say, I will raise him up at the last day. This is our hope, Lord, our hope of eternal bliss. Lord, this is what we expect and look forward to. As thou dost give us light, as thou dost give us that favour by faith to believe, to trust thee, and especially as our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We live by faith upon thee, Lord. Live by faith upon the Son of God. And can we say it? We pray that friends here may be able to truly feel it and say it. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Lord, we have nothing else, no other hope. There's none other name, and we desire none other name, because thou hast won our affection, Lord, and we trust thou hast bound ourselves hearts. Thou hast made thyself, Lord, so precious, and all thou, our dear holy heavenly Father, in giving thy dear Son, oh, we fall before thee in amazement and wonder that thou hast so given thy dear Son for wretched sinners like we. Oh, we pray, lead us into these great favours. May faith be so blessedly active in the Lamb once slain. Oh, then, oh, if we feel our guilt, our sin, our adding sin to sin, we cannot keep ourselves. We do need, Lord, again to know that application of thy holy atonement, the precious blood of Christ, to our hearts and consciences. Oh, where dear souls come tonight, feeling the burden, feeling the contagion, feeling that is so bringing them to feel grief that they're sinning. And as we think of it, Lord, sinning against our loving Lord, we've sinned against thy love and blood. Oh, Lord, this is very solemn, very serious. We feel it so. But, oh, we may, as we believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin, Lord, we seek the application of it, and this will do us good. Lord, some of us know this, because we have tasted, we have known and tasted redeeming love. And all we need it again, Lord, like we've been singing, we need it. We need it afresh. We need it sealed to our souls that thou dost love us and thou hast given thyself for us. We pray for the dear younger friends, Lord, dear young people, Lord, and any little ones that are not here out tonight. Thou knowest we think of them and pray for them. And Lord, we also pray that thou wilt so grant that favour bringing to the birth at thy time. Dear ones that are carrying little ones, we are daily exercised to be concerned to pray for them, Lord. And one little one born only just about 48, nearly 48 hours ago, that is grandson of our friend, thy servant, Mr. San. Lord, thou knowest that little one is in the hospital in an incubator. We pray for that little boy. Oh, may he be soon recovered and strengthened, Lord, from that that is anxiety, Lord. We believe thou wilt clear that infection. We believe thou wilt. We look to thee, the good physician, to bless the man. And, Lord, we think of the dear handmaid come home. We expect tonight, leaving the little one in the hospital. Oh, thou knowest all these things, Lord, of our dear friends and our dear people, and the dear people here. And there are those, Lord, that have gone away seeking rest and change. We pray for them. We pray they may be benefited and let's go into spend the time with loved ones they do not see so much now in their married pathway, married state. We think of them, Lord, and pray for them. They may have a profitable and restful change. Watch over them and keep them and bring them back in safety. And in all our travelling, Lord, we beg thee, watch over and keep us. Those that have to travel for their employment, Lord, they know their concern and exercise for them. Oh Lord, where they are not able to get back early enough to be in thy house, oh, we can feel for them, knowing what this is a good many years ago now. But oh Lord, how we've had meditation when we've been alone driving. And oh, we pray they may know this and know thy presence with them, the sweet company and feeling of thy love, the convoy of thy love. So be with us in all our travelling, in all our journeying. And thou knowest our life is a journey. We pray, dear Lord, oh, do lead us on, lead us in the way everlasting. Forgive all our sins, dear Lord. Oh, we pray we may know the blessed peace again that comes with pardoned sin. Oh, bless souls in these ways, dear Lord. Be with afflicted friends. Oh, sanctify, raise them up. We especially remember thy dear servant, Mr. Broome. Oh, feeling that closeness to him in love. For the favour thou didst grant us to know a little of, to feel the blessedness of together. Regarding one dear soul here. Lord, oh, what a sweet day it was when we could come and join with them when our friend put thee on by an open profession. Oh, be with our dear friend John. Be very near him, Lord. And oh, if it could please thee to raise him up, and yet raise him up and strengthen him, thou knowest it's all in thy hand. And our friend, dear Mr. Haddo, Lord, oh, he was expecting to get into the home. Oh, we hope he can soon, if not able today, but it was to be today. We think of the friends there gathering tonight for the prayer meeting. Oh, may they feel and know thy presence there. And so, Lord, as we are here on this Friday evening, oh, we think of two of being prepared for thy day. May it be a feeling reality here tonight, that we may feel the blessedness of thy presence, and even feel this is should be a leading on into thy day, if it could be thy holy will. Oh, do bless souls. We look for thee to quicken and make manifest thy dead elect, Lord. Oh, to bring back wanderers. Oh, thou knowest our great burden in our families for some, our great sorrows. But, oh Lord, we bless thee, for thou hast given us to know the balancing of the clouds. What a wonderful thing this is. If it wasn't so, we could not stand, we could not go on. But thou dost give the grace, enabling us to persevere. And so we look to thee and trust thee, Lord. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. We believe we know the favour of this, Lord. For thou dost maintain the grace of faith in thy people. And thou dost give all needed grace. Oh, thy grace is sufficient. We bless thee for this. We bless thee for the favour of knowing it. So we come, Lord, for worship tonight, to praise thy great name, to extol thee and lift thee very high, our great God Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Help us each, dear Lord, we may worship our God in spirit and in truth, here tonight. Lord, do come thus. Help our dear friend further with the hymns. Oh, thou knowest that the exercises, it's a continual exercise to these dear deacons. We know it is. And thou hast made them and placed them in their office, Lord, made them what they are in thy name. And oh, we pray that thy people here may know, blessedly, thy favour and be able to gather specially to witness it at special times appointed of thee, when they shall yet exalt thy name. Lord, where souls are favoured and blessed, Lord, where thou hast brought some as thou hast through deep affliction and raised them up, oh, may there be that witness of the nevertheless afterward. May there be yet that witness that shall appear through thy great sanctifying goodness. Lord, do so draw by thy love, oh, favour souls, they may feel the power of thy drawing them. Oh, Lord, Jesus draws the chosen race. May it be witnessed here yet. Oh, may there be those that shall tell what thou hast done for their souls. And now if we look back to the privilege of being here with the friends on one occasion for this, when those dear friends do dear souls told of what thou hast done. Oh, we pray for this, Lord, in our own cause and in the little hills of Zion, in this cause of truth here. Let thy work appear, Lord, unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Lord, we pray for our country. We have heard another sad thing this evening regarding that which has been brought in regarding prayer at the local council meetings. Oh, that it is, as it were, been outlawed. Oh, how sad. But, oh Lord, we have a hope that we'll overturn it. Lord, how every one of humanity brought to feel their need should have the privilege of prayer. And, oh Lord, these things seem to be more and more appearing as a slight upon the Christian faith. Lord, oh, we pray. Oh, frustrate the designs of wicked men who want to make us totally atheistic. Oh, they don't want our religion. They don't want these things. Lord, the sadness, the sighing and crying we feel for the abominations done in our land, and these things, though in a sense perhaps not as great and solemn as some of the abominations, yet they all point the wrong way, Lord. Oh, that we are becoming more and more ungodly in our land. Have mercy on us, Lord. Oh, in mercy, look upon us still, in wrath remember mercy. We beg these things, Lord, with the pardon of our every sin, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1031. What a vile, deceitful heart, filled with sin in every part. But for free and sovereign grace, hell had been my destined place. Hymn 1031.
As the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the psalm that we read. That is Psalm 104, and the verse 34. Psalm 104, verse 34. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. As I intimated in prayer, friends, we were walking along from the car park. Seemed to settle in my mind, well, if I were to put a head into my message tonight, experience, exercise, and expectation. Those three words, experience, exercise, and expectation. As I had talked to some friends today who were contacting me regarding engagements, I actually said to one of the friends, I hope I'll be able to take a message tonight for the people at Swavesey that would do them good. The Lord knows that's in my heart, that I might come to you tonight with something from God that would do you good. But you see, also is this, in one's own personal pathway, there are many sorrows, many trials we have to know, many things, sorrows through our own sin and sinfulness and our wretchedness of our wicked hearts, how we cannot keep ourselves, we sin and add sin to sin, and the deep things of solemn concern that arise within us are that our sins against our loving Lord, and it grieves us deeply when we feel we are sinning, and so quickly we do, and also knowing through solemn exercise that it is in us to still love sin. And it is in us to still feel in our old nature even hatred to God. It's still in us. And we can't get away from it. We can't rid ourselves of it. And when we are brought to feel this in a deep feeling, solemn sense of it, it produces grief within us. We feel grief, because it grieves us that we are like we are. Because by grace and the favour of God, we have known the love of God, the love of Christ. Some of us have had great favours in signal blessings. Some of us, it would be wrong if we didn't acknowledge it, that we've been set a gospel liberty. We've been blessed abundantly. And God has favoured us, and we can remember that, we look back to that, but oh, how the clouds come between. Oh, how we come into sorrow and grief because of how we are. Sins within us, all about us, and we know this by experience. The remedy is without us, and we desire to see it in the Saviour's blood, but we need more than that. We need a fresh application of the atonement of the blood of Christ to our souls, because of what we are, how we've fallen, how we've so caused God to be grieved, and we are grieved. And so, friends, I want to make clear to you that as a considerable part of the psalm is the psalm here are words of praise and acknowledgement of God in a way of acknowledging God's greatness, His sovereignty, His sovereign rule of the skies and so on. And that's so much found in the psalm. And also, the psalmist knew, and we know if we're being taught of God, that there's so much about us that we need to come before God in confession over, and to know the grief, that the grief we feel might be a true feeling of grief and leading us into godly sorrow, which worketh repentance unto salvation. And if we are being exercised truly in this way, we will know what the psalmist states here. He believes it. He says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Also, I want to just acknowledge a few things of our personal situations. You've got yours and I've got mine. We've got things where of sorrow, where we're grieving over certain things in our pathway and circumstances. And all these things, they really conspire, friends, to make some of God's people a weighty cross. They do. There are the things of blessed, pleasurable things, of pleasing things, and in the best sense they are where we have some witness of God working. God has, in my own pathway, He's given me much balancing. He's given me very sweet signs following the preaching of the Word, given us a few souls that we believe are as spiritual children. But then we have also among our own some of them things that are so grieving, so sad. But by the grace of God, we trust we know where to take all our sorrows and griefs. It's to the Lord, it's to Him. Him who sits on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Him, our Lord, who has come to this earth and has lived here, suffered here, bled and died here on earth, and now is in heaven. He lives no more to die, He lives the Lord enthroned on high. God gives us the vital grace of faith to look away from this lower world, away from all our things, to the Lord Himself. He gives us that favour by faith to look to Him, and this is how our meditation is brought to be felt and experienced as sweet. I woke with the lines of the hymn writer upon my spirit this morning. Seemed so, it really melted me as I woke with those lines, so in my heart and on my spirit. It's in the hymn 472, which begins, when languor and disease invade this trembling house of clay, 'tis sweet to look beyond our cage and long to fly away. But further down we find these lines in the seventh verse. This is what I woke with upon my heart, upon my spirit and mind. Sweet to lie passive in His hands and know no will but His. And immediately one's mind and heart and exercise, we went to John's Gospel. Not opening the Bible, I seem to have my very mind under the power of God led to what the Lord said there regarding the will of the Father. the will of the Father was, as we read, there is. The Lord said, this is the Father's will, that of all whom he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should I will raise it up at the last day. And then it is, as it were, repeated in the following verse with extra words regarding this, that the Lord will, for all those that are brought to see the Son and believe on him, he will raise him up at the last day. Oh, the will of God. The will of God our Father is we should pass through these things in our pathways. Nothing comes by chance. Nothing is by fortune or chance. Everything is appointed in God's will. And God's people will be given the grace to humbly acknowledge it. Do you feel that? Do you feel you can say God is teaching you these things, bringing you into the understanding of these things? You dear young people, with the things that are a concern to you, your own heart, if you are troubled about your condition, the condition you're in spiritually, if you look at the heading on that hymn, it's the sweetness of spiritual things. Now, is it a concern to some of you young people? Do I know spiritual things? Am I exercising spiritual things? You may say, you may have you're led to ponder like this. The ministers speak about a person becoming a spiritual character when they're born again. Am I born again? Am I a spiritual character? And then examining this, considering this, you will be, I believe, like this, you will be saying within yourself, well, if I am a spiritual character, if God has begun in me, if he has quickened me into life, if I'm born again, you think of what how the Lord spoke to Nicodemus, you must be born again, and you may be concerned, well, am I born again? Am I born of the Spirit? Am I a spiritual character? Well, what is so wonderful is this. When a soul is born again, I believe it is always so that God will go on to teach them. He'll bring them into the favour of experiencing his further teaching and dealing with them. This is what it is to have an experience, to be born again, and to have an experience of God going on to be gracious, working in you. You see, you cannot learn God's truth in the head. You are taught by the Spirit. God's people are taught by the Spirit. And God so goes on to work in these young souls. They're young in the way. They may not be young in actual years, or they may be young. But the Lord goes on to work in them. If I know anything of it by my experience, the Lord solemnly dealt with me to change my heart, renew my will, turn me right round, make me concerned, make me to tremble before him, make me to tremble before God under conviction of sin. But then he led me on also. And oh, how sweet. This is the sweetness of spiritual things. If you can say, he led me on with placid pace to Jesus as my hiding place. Can you say that? I hope I can say that. Although I do not have the clear sunshine of God's love at this time, but I do have it clear. And I hope well grounded in faith to believe that whatever the devil may say or contradict of what I hope God has done for me, I know it was not the will of man. My soul's new heavenly birth began. And I believe the Lord works like this, and he'll work in you young friends like this, to make you know, and you will, even if you're in darkness, if you feel so far off from God, and yet, if you really consider it, I believe you'll be able to say, well, I didn't begin to love God myself. I didn't begin to be concerned myself. God began to make me troubled about my state and condition. You've got an experience. Already you've got an experience. And you see, it's experience. We used to have a dear servant of God. He's long been in glory now. His name was Mr. Tompkins, come to Stockport when I was young in the way. And he used to so often spoke in his sermon acknowledging this. Experience and the word of God, he says they agree, they will always agree. The experience of God's people, experience and the word agree. You know, if you think of the words that God so clearly states in his word about sin and salvation, that we are guilty sinners, and how there's that condemning in the word, and it's being condemned by God under his law. But then there is this, isn't there? God does it. That's his work in his people, to make them know they need the Saviour. It's sinners can say, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. And so you see, with an experience, through experience, I believe here the psalmist, through experience, he was able by faith to say, my meditation of him shall be sweet. He got all the things of trial and trouble and sorrow. He got all those things of the painfulness of his own state and condition. But he, looking away from himself, and through the experience of God's teachings that he'd known already, he was able to say by faith, my meditation of him shall be sweet. What a favour, friends, it is. I believe I can say this tonight. I do not know what will come on tomorrow. You know, it is like we sing, sometimes we feel it like that. Every day brings something new, Zion's troubles to renew. But though I believe, and I know that can be so, yet I believe. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Because I believe, as the Lord says, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So thou mayest boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And if you've got enemies, the enemy Satan, enemies within you, yet will you be able to say, I will not fear, what can man do unto me? He cannot touch your life. He can wound you, he can injure you, he can cause you much trouble and trial, but he cannot touch your life, because God loves his people and he's given his son for them. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Oh, what a favour. Oh, to believe this. Oh, to be in expectation. You see, experience, exercise. This is the work and operation of the Holy Spirit going on in you. You've got experience in those early experiences. You've got experience of what of the solemn side of your situation, which is your feeling of sin and guilt, the condemnation of the law in some measure, and through that, you are brought to know your need of Christ. And so you've got these things in your experience already. And God's leading you on, and he will lead you on. I'm sure of it. because I know this is the way God works through my own experience. And he blesses souls in these ways. He makes them know their danger. And then he makes them know their refuge too. Oh, he does. He makes sinners know their solemn state, condemns them under his law, and then he leads them to Christ. Oh, he favours them then to have an exercise for the best of blessings. Give me the best of blessings, love, whatever I want beside. And what love? God's love, the love of Christ. You do want to know it and experience it. You cry to God, give me Christ or else I die. This is your exercise. This is your great need that you feel. None a saviour more could need deeds of righteousness. I've none, no, not one good work to plead. But you see, you're in this exercise for him. And isn't it wonderful? As God gives that faith, favours you to be able to begin to believe. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I need him, I need the Saviour, I need to know my interest in what he's done. But as God gives faith to his people, they begin to believe and to expect the blessing. Do you know something of that? Oh, to come into that by the favour of God. My meditation of him shall be sweet, because God has done the first work. God has made me fail my way. You know, you might think of it like this, and we trust we know it, the reality of it, through God's teaching. And here the hymn writer puts it in a way of question. He says, what comfort can a saviour bring to those that never felt their woe? A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. To such as these, our Lord was sent. They're only sinners who repent. Do you feel that you can acknowledge you do feel repentance? You have repentance? I mean, we need to know repentance to be brought by feeling the grief of our sins, godly sorrow, to truly feel and be in repentance before God. Oh, truly sorry for sin, confessing it, desiring it to be, you to be rid of it. Take away, Lord, the love of sinning. Alpha and Omega be. You see, God, it will be working within you. He works within you to work in you holiness, not in the old nature, in your new nature. Desire to be holy. God must sanctify his people to make them holy. You know, he gives them a pure heart. He works in them for this. He purifies the soul. This is his work. This is his purpose. And you see, coming into this favour by God's grace, feeling godly sorrow and real repentance, there's such a pureness, a cleanness, of desire in the new nature. For Christ, give me Christ or else I die. You need pardon, you need to know he shed his blood for you. You need to know your sins are blotted out, put away. And this is what you are led into. And this is what you meditate on. My meditation of him shall be sweet, because God is working for my good. Oh, how sweetly the hymn writer puts it. He'll saw thee work and in thee too, and guide thee right and bring thee through all these hard, deep, painful experiences, because he's got a purpose to bless you and save you by his grace. my meditation of him shall be sweet. But oh, may we be helped to concentrate, friends. May we have light to view our Lord by faith. May we be blessed to come close to the ignominious tree where the dear Lord suffered in our place. May we have a view by faith of Christ tonight, there on Calvary for me. Oh, may we have this favour. You see, my meditation of him shall be sweet. He came to this lower world. He stooped down to this place, this world, place of sin and woe. This fallen world the Lord came down to. He came down to this earth, this fallen world, to walk this earth, to go about in it and upon it and through it doing good. And he came in love to his people to save them from sin and death and hell, and to rescue them from the ruins of the fall, to buy them back by redemption, the price his own heart's blood, to bring them to be reconciled to God through him and through what he has done. Oh, to bring them back to God. They were so far gone astray, like lost sheep, but he comes to rescue them, to rescue rebels doomed to die. He came. Oh, to have a glimpse of him tonight, our Lord, here for us, in Gethsemane for me, in the judgment hall for me, on the cross for me. This is what you need. This is what we need. And to meditate and find how he came, how he stooped down to wretchedness and dust. The guilty worms might rise. The holy, harmless Son of God. Oh, the darling Son of God, how it's put. Did the darling Son of God, the sovereign of the skies, come down to wretchedness? And yes, the dear Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. And oh, yeah, the hymn writer's got such full expressions. He took the dying traitor's place. Does that find you, poor soul? And suffered in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace. For man, the saviour bled. Took the dying traitor's place. Think of it, friends. You know, here that one on the cross next to the Lord, who was under grace, the favour of God in the 11th hour. How he acknowledged his sin. But oh, how he pleaded, Lord, remember me. Is that your prayer tonight? Lord, remember me, a sinner, weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. Is this the reality of your hope? I cannot hope but in his blood, in thy blood, remember me. Oh, Lord, for good. Yeah. Oh, if you really feel that, if you're really in that, the Holy Spirit is working in you to will and to do of God's good pleasure. He is working in you for good. And the Lord has a purpose to bless you, to favour you, to establish you. He has a purpose to bless you abundantly in his time. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Him, the Son of God, the Holy Lamb of God. You know, it, at times, and I don't want to say it in a wrong way, but I did count it a great favour to hear two testimonies here that time back when we come to take the church meeting. And I felt so led that day to begin our church meeting with that hymn, Lamb of God, we fall before thee. I believe there will be those of you who won't ever forget that. You know, I don't forget it. And when I am led and the Lord seems to be breaking in and giving us an earnest exercise and wanting to come before the Lord and seek him in prayer, whatever way we want to find and gain his ear. That's what it is really. Lamb of God, we fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross. That alone be all our glory. All things else are dung and dross. You know, it puts everything in the right place, doesn't it? All the concerns of providence and our business lives and so on, whatever it is, it's put in the right place, isn't it? Oh, when we fall before the Lamb. Oh, when we fall before him, fall at his feet. Oh, in prayer and supplication, humbly trusting in his cross, what he's done, how he's suffered, how he's redeemed the church, how he bled and died, we hope for us. That alone be all our glory. Oh, everything that we should concentrate on and everything that we should be considering and using and setting forth what we know of it by faith and in praise to God, blessing God's holy name, blessing and praising Father, Son and Holy Ghost, Lamb of God. We fall before thee, humbly trusting in thy cross, that alone be all our glory, all things else are dung and dross. Thee we own, a perfect Saviour. This is good meditation, friends. It is only source of all this good, and to acknowledge humbly with thankfulness every grace and every favour comes to us through Jesus' blood. Do you know it? Have you known and tasted of the holy, blessed, redeeming love of Christ? Have you had a taste of his holy love? Have you had a sip from the wells of salvation? Have you had a sweet token of his love? Oh, my meditation of him shall be sweet. Is there yet some further expectation to know it again? Needing it again? Needing to know it and taste it again. But, friends, have you had the sweet taste and not praised him for it? Have you had the sweet favour and not told of it, spoken of it, honoured him in praising him in a way, making it known? Darling of it. Oh, I hope I can say in my exercise in preaching it says, to tell of his wondrous faithfulness, sound his name abroad, how he has so writ the sacred word, how in the wonderful gospel of God's grace is so much of the good tidings, good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. That's the gospel I long to be helped and pray to be helped to preach. The gospel, I love it. It is perfectly free. What makes the gospel so precious to me? It also salvation so perfectly free. You know, really, as we're living our lives and fast going on, we are called upon to honour our God and praise him and show forth his praise. Oh, is it ever considered like this with any of you? Sometimes I have to consider it like this. When I come into a dead state, a feelingly deathy state or dark state, it's a concern to me that, with the little light we have, to be concerned to examine the cause. Because there is a cause. There's always a cause, there's always a reason for the changes God's people know. We know they that have no changes fear not God. but it should be a solemn exercise to us if we are in a failing sense of darkness. We would hope to have enough light, a little light, to be concerned to examine the cause. And if any of you are there tonight and yet you are hanging on to that experience you trust you do have, is it becoming a concern to you for the reason why you're in darkness now? Or whatever condition you're in, which is not as you would wish, is it a concern to examine, to consider, have I grieved my Lord? Have I grieved him by not telling of his love? Have I grieved him by not testifying of him, of what he's done for me? Have I grieved him in any way, whatever way? I believe God's people will want to know and acknowledge and solemnly confess. And really, if we have grieved our Lord, there is no way of renewal, friends, without us being brought under God's loving kindness into a solemn sense of how we've grieved him. The Lord says in those ways, as recorded in the prophets, where many had grieved the Lord, many had made God angry. He was angry with their inventions and so on. There are very solemn things stated there, how the people were acting and how they were grieving God. And what does God say? Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Oh, are we exercised in concern? If we have had in our experience the favour of God's love shed abroad in our hearts, but now we're not enjoying it, we're not in the light of it, do we examine ourselves why? Does our meditation run in a solemn way? But does it then cause us to be solemnly aware of how we've grieved our Lord? And is it then given us to have the grace in us given us to repent, to grieve and repent? And as the Lord leads us into repentance and some favour to plead and even to expect his mercy to be restored to us and renewed to us, our meditation of him shall be sweet. But what about as you desire the Lord that he will come again? And if he come again, aren't they going to, and I say this faithfully, but I hope kindly, aren't they going to grieve him again? It's a solemn question with me sometimes. When I can feel the Lord beginning to restore my soul, it is with a question within me, will I grieve him again? Lord, give me grace, take away the love of sinning. Enlarge my coast, keep me from evil, that he may not grieve me. You see, I believe this is how. There'll be such a mingling in the exercise. The things that are solemnly needing to be confessed. The things that are blessedly given in desire. The sweetness of feeling the confidence and expectation of the Lord's favour again to be restored to us. Oh, friend, my meditation of him shall be sweet, because Jesus doesn't deal with us. The Lord doesn't deal with us like we deal with him. His loving kindness is so great. Oh, his loving kindness, oh, how sweet. He'll never spurn us away if we come seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. He draws his people to him. He draws the chosen race by his sweet, resistless grace. Oh, our Lord, his love, his kindness, his mercy to us, his long suffering. Friends, if we are led into this, where the psalmist was, we will be expecting our Lord to come again. He will renew those things in us. I believe he will. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. This word glad is a very, very wonderful full word, really. I will be glad in the Lord. It's a word full of praise, thankfulness, joyfulness, rejoicing. Notice how we had that in the opposites in the hymn regarding rejoicing. There will be rejoicing. The Lord will restore us into rejoicing. He will bring us where Paul was when he said, and he solemnly was acknowledging things relating to the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. Right into the Philippians, he says, we are the circumcision. The experience of it was well known, burnt in them. They had experienced it. We have been cut in our consciences. We've been convicted of our sins. We are the circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, this favour, that was gladness, you know. That was thankfulness. That was rejoicing in hope. I think it's right into the Romans in the 12th chapter. He writes like that. He says, rejoicing in hope. I think it's patient in sufferings or afflictions and constant in prayer, but you see, rejoicing in hope, it's faith, faith in exercise, living by faith. This is how the apostle was. This is how he spoke of the dear people he wrote to in those epistles, how they should be, and by grace they would be. And so here in this psalm, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus Christ, he who has loved me, Paul says, and given himself for me. I will be glad in the Lord. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has done all things well for his people. There was that acknowledged like that when the Lord was performing miracles. And there, I can't just get led to the place it is now, but among the miracles that are recorded in the Gospels, at one particular time the people said, he hath done all things well. And this is where he will bring his people. He hath done all things well. But oh, to be able to sound it forth, to tell of his wonderful love and faithfulness, and sound his name abroad, to testify it in our gathering together, in our churches, to tell of what the Lord's done for my soul. Oh, it's a great privilege, you know. I have a number of times thought of how late Mr. J.S. Green, when he preached the sermon before he baptized me, in the sermon there he speaks of how he had a desire to sit at the Lord's table. And he said, but I realised I was the wrong side of the water, he said. But he said, the Lord led me on. He said, and then he said, I was able to sit at the Lord's table. And I followed him and testified of him, told of his love to the friends in the church, and they welcomed me in and to sit at table with my Lord. I believe that is, friends, the greatest privilege we can have in the Church of God here on earth, to sit at table with our Lord, to remember him. I believe that is in an act of humble worship before God. I believe that's the greatest privilege a person can have. My godly mother prayed for it, that her husband, who was called by grace later in life, she'd married him on a promise, she prayed that he might be able to sit down with her once before they were called to die. But that was never given her, that was not God's will. And it is a great favour and privilege, friends. Think of what your Saviour's done for you. Oh, how great was his sufferings for you, some of you. You hope you know it. You hope you hang all upon it. And, think of what he's done. Oh, how he draws his people. They follow him. They follow at his call, the hymn writer says. The joy prepared for suffering saints will make amends for all. I believe that with all my heart. I live with a prospect that we shall be home with him at last. The Lord has given us that sweet prospect, the hope that such a day may come, it will come, make seeing the captive's portion sweet. I cannot go on, friends, now, for time's gone. May the Lord bless you, bless his word, bless you all. If it be his will, I pray for it. Oh, may the Lord bless his holy word to us each. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Raymond Woodhams will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pack on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 1097. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. The weary, the tempted, and burdened by sin were never exempted from entering therein. Hymn 1097.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything there is seen amiss. Do own and bless thy word. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us each now and evermore. Amen.